Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I forgot to announce earlier, too, Pastor Schnegelberger is not sick, he's not ill, but it was his birthday this weekend, so I think the elders decided to give him a birthday celebration, and so he will be back with us, I'm sure, on Wednesday and also next week. Well, today we are going to talk a little bit about temptation, based on the epistle reading from James. And so to you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how many of you struggle with temptations? If you do, raise your hand. Of course, mine's going up. And for those of you that are at home, everybody's hand was raised here in the church. So just so you know that. Everyone struggles with that. Well, there was a popular Christian magazine that did a survey once, and it surveyed its readers, asking them to rank the areas of greatest spiritual challenge. And these are the five top answers that they came up with. Things that they are challenged with spiritually. First was materialism. I'm sure in America we don't suffer from that, do we? Materialistic. Pride, yes. Self-centeredness, number three. Laziness. My wife will attest to that. And tied for the fifth position was anger and bitterness and sexual lust. Those who responded said that temptations are stronger when they had neglected their time with God and when they were physically tired. Time with God and physically tired. Well, we know there's not a day that goes by that we are not tempted in some way. Temptations come to each of us in many different forms. For example, we're tempted not to tell the truth. How many times have we blamed our brothers and sisters for something that happened, right? We are also tempted to take something that doesn't belong to us, to take advantage of someone, to gossip, to hold a grudge, to feel superior and look down on others, or to give in to that part of us that constantly wants either more money or more things. So, the question today is, how do we handle temptations? Do we struggle a little? Do we struggle a lot? Well, the good news for you guys today is this. The Bible tells us, and Mrs. Erickson mentioned that too, the Bible tells us that it is possible to resist temptation. And so the text for the message today is the epistle reading that was read earlier by Brian, James chapter 1. And in that text, James deals specifically with temptation. Now, the first thing that all of us need to know is that a trial is not the same experience as a temptation. There's not always a connection between trials and temptations, but often a trial will lead us into some temptations. When trials strike, we may be tempted to think of or act in a very sinful manner. Maybe we respond selfishly. Maybe we will lash out at someone else, or we complain, or we question our Lord's love, and we resist His will. In our trials and the difficulties that we have, of course, there is Satan. And Satan loves to show us the opportunity to escape that difficulty. And sometimes escaping that difficulty leads us in a very sinful way. And we are tempted to do it. But the point of our text today from James is this, that we can recognize and we can respond in a very righteous manner to temptations. And so I'm going to break down that passage into three parts this morning for us. And part one is verses 12 and 13. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Well, what's the point of that first section of the text today? Temptation is inevitable. It's going to be there in our daily lives, but we can be victorious over it. Verse 12 reminds us that we can experience a victorious outcome or success when facing temptations. James tells us that the person who remains steadfast under trial is what? He is blessed. He also says that that person who faced the test with success will receive what we call the crown of life, which might be better translated, the crown which is life, and that is, my dear friends, eternal life. Now, St. James is not saying that God tests us, but his assumption is God allows trials and temptations. That's a very key point. He doesn't tempt us, but he allows these things sometimes in our lives. And it is those trials and temptations that then again test us. And there's no question that temptations, attacks will come. In the 14th verse, he said, each person is tempted. He doesn't say if one is tempted. He said each person is tempted. As Christians, we are not immune to temptation. The fact is, we'll never be without temptation until we are with our Lord Jesus in heaven. And that's because as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle every single day of our lives. There are forces out there that are trying constantly to draw us away from our Lord Jesus Christ and his saving power. Then in verse 13, it tells us that temptation does not come from God. He does not put our favorite sin in front of us to help us grow in our endurance to that. He does not test our faith with the invitation to sin. As Angela mentioned earlier, temptation comes from Satan, who puts some very alluring choices before us to try and attract us to the pleasures that he offers. Here's a key point. All temptation itself is not a sin. Temptation itself is not a sin. But what is? It's giving into that temptation. And who does that? We do. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Jesus himself was tempted, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Yet he was without what? Sin. Temptation is simply the invitation to sin. When we sin, it's because we've decided to accept that invitation. Part 2, verses 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. The desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So, what do we learn from those passages? There's no excuse for giving in to temptation. Well, what does James do? He points out that we have a personal responsibility for handling that temptation. We can't blame God. We can't blame someone else when we give in. Why? Because we are the ones that are responsible. Temptation is not from God, and God is not the one responsible when we give in to it also. And yet, what do we as people do sometimes? We point that accusing finger at God when looking for an excuse. It's true today, just as it was true when Solomon wrote this proverb, Proverbs 19, verse 3. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. So God does allow temptations, but he does not send them. He is never, ever involved in tempting anyone to do evil. But we know as human beings what is our tendency. We always try to find someone to blame, right? When I was growing up, there was a comedian, and some of you will remember this guy's name, Flip Wilson. Yeah? Flip Wilson. He was popular. And he had a comedy routine. It was based on a very famous line that people sometimes use to excuse bad behaviors. Anybody remember what that line was? The devil made me do it. Right. That is right. And that was his character. I think it was, Geraldine or something like that was the name of that. But anyway, that character tried to make an excuse every time he made a bad choice, and he blamed it on the tempter. Well, in a sense, he is exactly right. Because who is the tempter? The tempter is Satan. The tempter is the devil. And that tempter is responsible for temptation. But he's not responsible for us giving in to it. Who's responsible? We are. Now, we have a wonderful example from our first parents, right? Adam and Eve, we go back to the Garden of Eden, the time of temptation in that garden. And God confronted them. And he asked this question, and this is key. What have you done? Do you remember what they said? Here's Adam's response. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate. God didn't ask him that question. What was the question? What have you done? Well, what's Adam saying? He's saying, in effect, God, it is her fault. And you're the one who brought her to me. Now, we have Eve's response. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. In a sense, she's more like Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. The truth is, folks, though sometimes we think that way too, I couldn't help it. It's not my fault, Francis. He made me so angry. He knows not to say something like that because I always react that way. This is my favorite. I've heard this from Dick Geysert. That's just the way I am. But the fact is, people, God puts before us righteous alternatives when we are tempted. St. Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, there's no temptation overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide, what? A way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And so we come to part 3, the last 3 verses of our text, 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers, and I'm going to add this, and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We should not allow ourselves, then, to be deceived by temptation. Again, James puts it this way, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. In other words, do not see temptation as something good or rewarding. We are to reject temptation that we experience because we have the ability to see evil for what it is. And he points out in verse 17 that Satan does not give good gifts. Only God gives good gifts. And God is not the source of our temptation. Temptation is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. And God does not give bad things to his people. Of course, Satan would like temptation to look like a good thing. But don't be fooled. Every good gift comes from above, from the Father, and his gifts are pure and good, and they are without doubt from him. Peter explained this also to us in one of his books, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And then finally in verse 18, James tells us that we are different. For the good news is that those who are born of God can and do resist temptation. We no longer have to be servants of sin and be sinful human nature beings with our sinful human nature. We have the ability to see that Satan does tempt us. And he does that with a baited hook, trying to separate us from the righteousness of God. And in closing, I'd like to share some other verses from Corinthians for you, because as we stagger in the face of temptation, and we, let's be honest, sometimes we do stagger, we can fall back on the promises that God has made to us. We have his holy word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, again, no temptation has overcome you that is not common to who? To man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Obviously, prayer is important. God's word is important in escaping those temptations. We can also fall back on the promise that James himself wrote later in his letter, as recorded in the 4th chapter, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And what will he do? He will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resisting the devil, he will flee from you. We are children of God. And because of that, we can say to those who are gathered here this morning and to those who are gathered at home, Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You give us that power to resist Satan. In his precious name we pray. Amen. And now, O Lord, we pray that you would deliver us from our struggles and grant us the gifts that come from you alone. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has given us new life. And lead all of us in your wisdom until we are raised to receive the crown of life. And God's people said, Amen.